God's word speaks to us this evening from the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 35. We're going to read the first 15 verses of that chapter. Genesis chapter 35, beginning to read God's word at verse 1. And then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and your clothes and change your and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak of Shechem. And then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns around them, so that no one could pursue them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is, Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel, so it was named Allon Bacuth. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. And the land I give to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you." And then God went up from him at that place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at that place where God had talked to him, and he poured a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. And Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. This is the word of God. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, does anybody know what this means? Time out. Time out. In a real critical part of a ball game, maybe the coach or a player will signal time out. He wants the action to stop for a moment. He wants to reconsider or to change a plan in order to defeat the enemy. Well, because of the culture in which we are living, where there is creeping secularism and obvious materialism, where there is intrusive immorality and a decrease in spirituality, it's a critical time for most of our families. It's a time when a decision has to be made, a time when perhaps we have to have a time out so that we reconsider where we're headed, when we reconsider whether what kind of action should be taken within our families, when the head of the home should assume his rightful authority and try to get things back on the right track. Now that was true in the household of Jacob. For over the years, that family had become disorganized and weakened and laxed in their relationship to their God. And so God, in some sense, called a time out. He said to Jacob, "Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel. You see, Jacob, the third patriarch to have been given the promise of God, that that would be his land, and he should have been a wanderer. He should have been a sojourner, if you will, in that land of Canaan. He should have been living in tents and not settling down in Canaan so that he would not be identified with them, but moving among them, testifying to the fact that he was looking to a city not made by man, but a city made by God, whose foundation and builder was, in fact, God. But until that time, we find that Jacob was no longer a stranger. He was no longer a sojourner like his father Abraham and Isaac had been. Rather, Jacob built himself a house and some sheds for his cattle near the city of Shechem. And so that stranger became an inhabitant. That pilgrim became a resident. And the house that he built had no foundation, for it was not made by God. And so while living before the city gates of Shechem, a city of Canaan, the symptoms of decay began to show themselves in Jacob's family. They began to lower their standards. They began to lower their value systems and their lifestyle. They began to assimilate the culture of the land of Canaan. It wasn't long before the idols of that pagan nation began to be seen in the house of Jacob. There would have been a time when Jacob would have cast them out, but now, settled as he was in the midst of those whose gods they were, he passively accepted their presence in his home. And then, of course, his children found friends, and soon their lives were changing. When Dinah was defiled by the men of Shechem, and in revenge, Jacob's sons Levi and Simeon committed murder, the family was in absolute disarray. They had become a stench, as Jacob would say, in the very land of Canaan. And so that critical time had come, and a decision had to be made. And so God called a time out. Jacob, I want you to reconsider your direction. I want to reconsider your life journey. Jacob, take a stand. For the sake of your family, go back to Bethel. For the sake of your family, make a decision to move. Go to the hills of Bethel. Leave the fertile plains of Shechem. You have been near the Shechemites too long already. Problems and laxity and idolatry have entered because you are too intimate with that pagan world. So pull up stakes. And put some distance between you and the world. Go to Bethel. Go to Bethel. And remain there for a while. Why did God command him to go back to Bethel? Well, Bethel, as you recall, was the most memorable and sacred spot on all the earth for Jacob. It was there, on that first night of his flight from his brother Esau, that he had this dream of that ladder that stretched from heaven to the earth, where ministering angels were ascending and descending upon it. So it's more than just a place. It was where he had met God. It was where he had talked with God. It was a most blessed spiritual experience in Jacob's life. It was at Bethel that God had visited him. It was at Bethel that he had saw that had seen that ladder of grace that connects heaven and earth. At Bethel, it was where he made his first vow. God, you shall be my God. And it was a vow that God had given to him I am the Lord Almighty, and I shall give you a blessing. So at Bethel, God had met Jacob. It was a powerful experience in Jacob's life. And that's why God says, go back. Go back to that sacred place. Like I said, there are critical times in most families and in our own spiritual lives. And a courageous decision sometimes must be made. And that decision may mean that we have to somehow go back to our Bethel. You know, every now and then we shall find it necessary to say to ourselves and to our families, we must come out from among the world and separate ourselves from that world for a while. For I see our lives, that in our lives, our associations, our friends, and our activities are causing confusion and distress and distrust and disunity. In other words, the world is hurting our spiritual and moral lives, the life of our family. And so we must have a time out. We must break away for a moment, for a while, to go back to our Bethel. You see, many of us are really lost for the answers to the problems within our lives and with our families' lives. And oftentimes it's that we have built a house instead of just pitching a tent beside the cities of our world. For God has called us to be pilgrims. God has called us to remain strangers, to be sojourners in this world, to testify that we too are looking for a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. He does not wish us to build our homes so close to our world. He doesn't like to see that our lifestyles and our life choices and our world and life views are similar to the cultures in which we live. He doesn't want us to lose our identity as his people. And maybe one of the answers then is to go back to our Bethel and there revive in our hearts the memories that when we first came to know the Lord and what that meant to us. We must rethink our commitment. We must reflect upon the vows that we have made to our God. We must return to that point in time before we lost our joy, perhaps, or when we were illumined by our first love, or when we were filled with real peace, knowing that our lives were bathed in God's grace. Now, Bethel may be a different place for each one of us. But think about an experience in your life when God was really real and that Christ was there and that the Spirit was at work in your life. Remember the time when God felt particularly close, and that our love was pure and our hearts were filled with joy and peace. Go back and ask the Lord that those old feelings may resurface and that the relationship that we had may be restored and the vow that we had made have been replanted into the soil of his love. See, God asks Jacob to return to Bethel because that is where Jacob had made a vow to serve the Lord. And when he established himself near Shechem, that vow had very little impact on his life. In fact, he had all but forgotten it. Well, what about our vows to our Lord? be it by the professions of our faith or the recommitment we might have made or the result of some genuine conversion, that time when you made a personal commitment to the Lord, how has that impacted your life today? Or perhaps our problem lies in the fact that we have, in essence, forgotten our vow, forgotten our commitment. I recall what Paul wrote to Timothy when he said, "Take hold to the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Well, perhaps your Bethel is that time when you made your profession of faith. And you thought to yourself, well, it's really no big deal, but it is a time when you did make a commitment. And God remembers it, even though you may have forgotten. But now is the time for all of us to return to our Bethel, to remember our vows, to know that God never has forgotten that commitment we made to Him. It may hold the key to a revival for you and your family. We notice that it occurred to Jacob that if he was to return to Bethel, it was necessary to reform his whole household. And here we are seeing the inseparable relationship between a father and his family. And that is the basis of our covenant relationship, both as a family, but also to our covenant relationship with God. He could not worship God if members of his household worshiped other gods. And so Jacob took a stand and he made a decision. He said to all that were with him, to all that were a part of his family and fellowship, "You got to get rid of the foreign gods that you have with you." Yes, it has to come to that. It has to come to that. If we are to get back to our relationship to God, if there's to be a spiritual revival in our families and in our own personal life, we must cast aside, we must cast out our idols. I believe that we will find without exception that where there is a spiritual decline in our lives, where there is trouble in our life, where there is a division or a lack of love or understanding or trust in our relationships and with God, if there is stagnation or a lack of growth or a complacency in our spiritual lives, it's not the fault of God and it is not the fault of the church, but it is due to the fact that there is an idol in our lives somewhere. If there is a spiritual decline in our life, where there is serious trouble in our relationships, relationships that should be growing through spiritual nurture, if there is a moral decline, then there is an idol somewhere. And in fact, it seems that in proportion to the decay of our relationship to God at any level, we can find a subsequent increase in our idol love. Loving and trusting someone or something outside of God. As our time and energy grows or increases in our idol's direction, it lessens and diminishes in our direction toward our God. And that's why Jacob said, "Before I go back, those idols have to go." The final thing that Jacob had to do was to have a special moment of worship. Let us go back to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, who has been with me wherever I have gone. It seems that when trouble or problems or failure set in into a family or into our relationship with God, the first thing that stops is devotion, family devotions. And if that is true, then we have failed to maintain that which is an exercise that keeps us in good spiritual health. I mean, family devotions and family prayer, family worship is necessary to maintain family piety and spiritual health. Jacob knew that he had to build an altar unto God who had heard him in his distress, who had kept his promise to never leave him, never leave his side. And so Jacob made a renewed resolution to set time aside to worship God as a family. So any father has to understand that you are to be an active and aggressive priest in your family. You must fulfill your role in this way in your home. As Job once offered sacrifices and prayer for every member of his family, thinking perhaps they have cursed God in their hearts, so every father here must be doing the same for his family. And if you're not doing so, it's imperative that you do so. It's imperative that you return to your Bethel, part of which is to worship together as a family. Jacob understood that if the problems in his family were to be resolved, if godliness was going to be revived, then worship had to begin again. Well, this is what Jacob did. He went back to Bethel. It was a courageous decision, although it really was a decision in which he was obedient to God, for it was God who had told him, "Jacob, go back to Bethel." Now we should take a few minutes to see what happened when he finally made that decision. The first thing we see is that all entered eagerly into that reforming work. We read that they gave Jacob all the foreign gods that they had. You see, the head of the house, the head of the home must take a stand. And if reform in the family is to be completed, all must participate, all must remove all the gods that they possess. And that all depends on how much each member of the family loves the other members of the family, how much they love their idol. I mean, I ask you, are you happy? Are you really happy what's happening within your family? Are you really happy about how culture of our society is creeping into our relationships as a Christian family? How much are you willing to give in reforming your family? Do you love your family more than the things that you possess? Do you want to help the other members of your family spiritually? Do you put a value on eternal things or only on the things that don't last? Jacob's family wanted to solve their problems, and so they were willing to give everything away. They were willing to go back to Bethel and put away their God. Secondly, note that as they journeyed, the terror of God was given to the towns throughout which they traveled so that they did not pursue Jacob. God offered peace and protection for him on his journey. When a man's way conforms to God, God makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. You see, it was Jacob's experience that when he took a stand, when he made that difficult decision to move, his troubles began to vanish because of the power of God in his life. I know, too, that the trends in our culture today that threaten our families and the temptations that we face each day because of their instruments and tools of our enemies, I know that they will have no power over us if we conform ourselves to God's will. If we have a fear of our Lord, if we're determined to do what is right, then we can proceed on our life journey without fear of defeat. And finally, God appeared to Jacob again and blessed him again. Going back, Jacob had a new and very uplifting experience, one to rival the first. It was really worthwhile to have made that decision to go back. He and his family were talked to by God. He and his family were met by God and felt close to God again. No doubt if we and our families come together and do what God wants us to do, to really be sojourners, to really be pilgrims here upon the earth, God will give us a clear view of himself in Jesus Christ. He will give us a vivid sense of his love. He will give us an invaluable reward for putting aside our idols and worship only him as a true and living God. Maybe it's time for us to reevaluate our life journey. Perhaps it's time for us to go back to our Bethel. Amen. Father, in this culture of ours, we acknowledge that we have settled. It seems like we're no longer sojourners or strangers, but participants in the culture in which we live. We're concerned about that. We realize it happens. We realize that we compromise. We lower our standards. We accept what our culture is telling us. And we forget our commitment. We forget our vows to you. And they have very little impact on our lives at times. Help us to reflect upon what you have told us in your word tonight. Perhaps we too have to take a time out and just reflect, recharge, react, and renew ourselves in our relationship to you. Help every father here and every family to deal with this in accordance to your word. Help us to be obedient. And in it, we know that we will be given your blessing, your peace. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.